The first reading for today is from Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 through 14. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the richness of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he proposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and earth together under one head, even Christ. In him we were chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, might be the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. We bear God's seal of approval. That's what's on those dollars, is a seal that guarantees its value by the Federal Reserve. We have a different kind of seal that is on us. We have the seal of approval from God that says that we belong to him, and nothing can ever change that. Nothing can ever take away that value, the value that he has placed on you. I remember years ago, I haven't seen this in forever now, but at the shops wherever you bought, and you didn't buy just great beef everywhere. I guess you still don't, but wherever you would find the good stuff, you had that purple stamp on it. Remember that? I dealt with this a lot because I worked in a barbecue and we were smoking briskets, and every one of those had that big old purple stamp. USDA Choice Prime Grade A beef from Montana. That could have been from Texas, but that's okay. We'll eat it down here. That's fine if they want to raise it. But USDA Grade A Prime, Choice Prime Grade A. Remember the song that guaranteed that you would have quality clothes if you look for the Union label? Yeah, got that. I apologize if that song becomes stuck in your head now today. It's possible. There is also that tag that's very popular today, that Made in the USA tag. That kind of was a resurgence, actually started by Sam Walton with Walmart, because years ago when the big stores started opening up, one of the things that they prided themselves on was all the Made in the USA products. Since his death, it's not quite that way anymore. It's definitely not that way anymore. Let's put it that way. But it used to be pretty much that Made in the USA, that was their thing. You know, you're going to get the Made in the USA product here. And then, of course, I've spent time out in the country and around the cows that have the brands. That's a good way for a rancher to mark their animals. They would have a brand. Nowadays, more so, they've gone to the ear tags instead of the burning the brand onto the side of the animal. But even that, though it showed ownership and it showed that this was a seal of approval, this belongs to me, sometimes those things were taken away from people, and they would change the brands even, and they would claim ownership in other places. You can put a tag in anything and claim that it's made in the USA, even if it's not. You could create your own little stamp of approval, and that doesn't necessarily give anything any more value other than just to you. But then there's the greatest mark of all, the greatest seal of approval of all, the greatest brand of all, in a sense, and that's what God has placed on us. Waters of baptism. From the day that we are baptized as a child of God, we are marked. And we even say that in the baptism rite. We receive the sign of the cross both upon your forehead and upon your heart to mark you as one redeemed by Christ crucified. We are marked by God. And unlike a branding iron would leave, or an ear tag, or perhaps the idea of a big purple tattoo on all of us. Yeah, we don't want to go there. We all say choice, prime, you know. In baptism, we receive an indelible, invisible mark that is there for all time. It can't be washed away. It can't be rubbed off. It can't be burned off. It can't be covered over. There's no way to disguise it. You are a baptized child of God. And as a baptized child of God, you have God's seal of approval upon you. It's a guarantee. Now, a guarantee is only as good as the guarantor. So if we have a dollar, then there should be gold or silver. Gold is the primary. We used to have silver certificates, though, too. That has to be at the Federal Reserve to back it up. Guess what? It's not there. We've known for a long time we're in way over our heads. We owe a lot more and have printed a lot more money over time than we have to back it up. But the idea of the guarantee being as good as the guarantor, then that's why the dollar can fluctuate and the dollar can devalue and we can lose, even though we still have that note that says it's a dollar. It's not worth the same over time. We conduct business with people. We're only as good as our word. If we say we're going to do something, if we say we're going to back something up, if we say that we're involved in something and we're going to be involved in it, we're only as good as our word. The guarantee is only as good as the guarantor. If you don't keep that word of faith, then it's saying that the guarantor is not trustworthy anymore. We used to be able to do business with a handshake. Shake somebody's hands, and that's it. We're good. We're done. Business is taken care of. Now it involves 30 pages of signing here, initialing here, notarizing here, and then probably putting something else down in there to say that we're worth our word on something. The guarantee is only worth what the guarantor is worth. Guaranteed satisfaction. Something is guaranteed not to break, wear out, fall off, fade, tear, spoil, or shrink. Had any of those phones that are called unbreakable break? I've broken one as early as 2 hours after I got it. Yeah, I'm not good on phones. I really am not. I'm pretty hard on phones. And even though they said, oh, this won't break, the odds of it breaking are way out there, because it would have to land in just the perfect way upon something that just pierced it in the perfect way to crack that glass. It's so unlikely that you don't need to worry about this. Yeah, not in my hands. It broke. Fell right out of my pocket when I leaned over, landed face down right on a little pebble, screen was shattered. And I paid for it for the next 2 years still. That's the way it works. I had to guarantee that I was going to pay for it before they would let me have it. They guaranteed it was going to be good. Their guarantee wasn't so good. Because for just about $50 short of the price of what that phone was, I could buy a whole new one and pay for it for 2 years too. Not a very good guarantee. Guaranteed results. We get those in different things. Weight loss, smoking, money back guarantees. If you don't like it, We like some of those guarantees, and we take advantage of those when things aren't the way we want them to be. The bank, as I've said, that's a guarantee of our notes. It says that they're going to be there. But then there's the true guarantee in this life, and that's God's guarantee. And God's guarantee is backed up by His Word, a Word that has proven itself to be true over and over again, a Word that has revealed promise after promise that has taken place, and more promises that are yet to take place. But because of everything He's done in the past and having kept His Word in every single way up until today, we can trust in whatever is coming next in His Word for us, because God has proven Himself. He's the guarantor that we can all rely on. Your sins are forgiven. Your guilt is removed. Jesus is coming again. Heaven does await all of those who have faith in Him. It's a guarantee backed by the best guarantor in the world. And it's all on deposit for us. We haven't laid complete claim to that total forgiveness of our sins, because we're still in this world and we're still sinning. But Jesus, His death and His resurrection are as if on deposit for us. Kind of like a safe deposit box. It's going to be there in its full when you go back for it and when you're ready for it. This is not the idea of a once saved, always saved kind of concept. Certainly, you and I can throw away the value of this guarantee for us by leaving our faith, by disobeying God, by blaspheming God. We can turn away from Christ's guarantee for us. But God has promised that His value will never be removed from that guarantee. And if we turn back to Him, there is still life and there is still hope. And if we will continue in God's will and in God's ways, it's all set. The inheritance of this guarantee is ours. And if that's the case, then we have to look at the world around us and what we're really placing value on. Because I don't see Christians placing as much value on this faith in Christ as we should. We have a lot of faith in a lot of things, but a lot of those things tend to be either ourselves, other people, or possessions. What's more important, your possessing or God's possession? We may possess stature. We may possess certain gifts and abilities. We may possess wealth. And some people rely on those possessions. And then you can get into some churches where they talk about certain spiritual gifts that others don't follow in the same line of thinking with. There are some churches that will rise up the idea of spiritual gifts of healing, of tongues, of material blessings for you if you follow God. And God doesn't say that those things are going to be there for you if you follow Him. God says you're going to inherit Christ. You're going to have what you need in this life, and what you need in this life is Jesus, the one who died and rose for us. These other things may be nice to have, but the problem is too many people get caught up in the idea of the possession of a gift, even, as opposed to the one who possesses us. There are, and have been over the years, many evangelists that are not doing evangelism for the Lord as much as for themselves. In the idea of imitating faith healings, or imitating the speaking of tongues, or claiming this prosperity gospel, this material blessings for you, the more you follow, the more you will receive. And charlatans such as this really place the focus on either you or themselves. Come to hear this person. This person is a faith healer. They're the ones that have this gift. And they will talk about themselves and their gift that they have. But for us, we need to go back to that wonderful, faithful, true statement that says, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's not about us. It never has been. The only time when God made something in this world truly about us was when Jesus died and rose on the cross. At that point, everything was about you and God's focus on you. Now he has you here, and he's already given you that. You have Jesus, but how do you live that Jesus now? God has looked to you now to share this good news, to say, in God we trust, and in no other. To recognize that God has given us the opportunity to recognize that we can reach others in this life. We can share this good news, and you can share it as much as you like, and there's always going to be more to share. Not like the dollar bill. You get rid of that and it's gone. But the in God we trust part never leaves. Because I can talk to every single one of you about Christ all together, individually, and I still have as much about Jesus that I can say as I did before. And share his love and share his passion. There's a hymn that says, all depends on our possessing. And the phrase that comes after that, all depends on our possessing, are the words that God's abundant grace and blessing is there for us. All depends on our possessing God's abundant grace and blessing. That's what we have on deposit from God. That's the promise that God has given us. God is the one who has the valuable possession, not us. We possess many things, but God possesses us. And he holds us in his hands. And he gives us the promise of his love and his forgiveness all of our days. Jesus himself said in John, I haven't lost any of them, except for the one that was doomed from the beginning. I haven't lost any of them. Jesus has not lost you, and he never will. We may stray, we may falter, we may devalue ourselves and our worth in this world. But because of what God has done in Jesus, our value and our worth will always be there in Christ. It's banked, it's a guarantee, it's on deposit. Jesus is there for us. God has us engraved in the palm of his hands. We then bear his seal of approval. That baptism is God's guarantee for you. Martin Luther would go through the process sometimes when he was distraught or struggling with his personal demons, and he had a lot of them. And he would write, baptismus sum, which was Latin for I'm baptized. He'd write it on his walls, he'd write it on the floor, he'd write it on his tables and chairs, so the story is told. But the baptismus sum, there is no doubt about that for him, that he did hold to that because that's there in the confessions of the church. I'm baptized. That is something that gives us value. That is something that gives us the greatest hope. And that is something that reminds us of the guarantee of Christ's love and forgiveness on deposit for us, for now and for all time. You are a baptized child of God. And because of that, you hold full value in the inheritance and the kingdom of heaven. Baptismus sum. I'm baptized. That says that God loves me, God forgives me, and God is going to hold on to me. That God is going to bless me, that God has given me value. I'm baptized. Say that. I'm baptized. Say it again, one more time. Let me hear you. Make sure. I'm baptized. Amen. As I go on to say that nothing more needs to be said after that, I do say, nothing more needs to be said after that. When we say that, that's the beginning of our day. That's the beginning of our hope. That's the beginning again of our life with Christ. I'm baptized. Make it a point every day, like Martin Luther did, to remind yourself that's the guarantee of your value.